According to the fullness of times, of the word, the testimony, the covenants, and the cleansings, God has given his servants and prophets meals to serve his people, that darkness in men might be destroyed. Behold, the Lord's table is laden with meals to build a generation of overcomers. From this table comes the ministration of grace from God's servant. Listen and be blessed.
Father, we thank you for this morning, this session. Our eyes are on you, and my eyes are on you too. Thank you for all the blessings that you have given us from the beginning, this conference. And thank you for the allocation for this afternoon. Lord Jesus, I receive your mercy to connect and draw those things that you have ordained for this afternoon, that you will find me faithful to bring them forth. I receive strength for myself and for the brethren. I ask for understanding. I ask, oh Lord, for entrance for everyone. That, Lord, even to the least, everyone we have understanding. Thank you, our Father. We give you all the praise. I honor your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We say a big amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's see Revelation chapter 2. We are looking at the body, the overcomers. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. So we saw yesterday, from all the teachings, we have been seeing that the major thrust in the heart of Jesus for the church in this season is raising the overcomers, or the emergence of the overcomers. So what I perceive I should teach on today is how the overcomers are raised. Because overcoming is not only in desire. We should desire to overcome. We should pray to overcome. But it's more than that. Hallelujah. Prayers only, which is very vital part of our equipping, is not enough. If it is prayer only, Satan will have fallen sins. And it's not only in zeal. Zeal is important. Prayer is important. Zeal is important. But the two, without appropriate building and equipping, cannot make us overcome. Can we say a big amen?
Amen.
Luke 11, verses 21 and 22. Armed, keepeth his palace. His goods are in peace. When a strong man, armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Next verse. But when a stronger than he shall come upon he and overtake him or overcome him. So it means a strong man was harmed. He has ammunition to keep his goods, to keep his palace, and all his goods are in peace. Anyone who will overcome that strong man must be stronger. Must be stronger. Hallelujah. I don't think you are saying that. He said, and come upon him and overcome him. He take care from him all his armor, wherein he has trusted, and divided his spoil. So if God has ordained that the church will overcome the dragon, hallelujah. The dragon is a strong being. The dragon is a strong being. And I will say some things today that the Lord taught me along the way, that we must also be mindful of. The dragon is still a strong being. Even though he has fallen, but he's still a strong being. Because he's a cherub. And he's still a cherub. Who is getting what I'm trying to say? He's a cherub And he's still a cherub. He is a building. He has properties and materials. Hallelujah. If he is not strong, even though he's not as strong as he used to be, but if he's not strong, then he should have been overcome since. He still has his sway over the nations. He still has his hold over the nations. He still has, you know, I was telling some brethren in church in Ilorin, I was telling them that when Jesus was on earth, Jesus was careful of the dragon when he was on earth. He wasn't afraid, but he was careful of the dragon. He was careful of the dragon. In John chapter 15, is it 15 or 16? He was talking, he said that, he was just saying that some things. He now said that the prince of this world, he said, hereafter, I will no longer talk with you. Hallelujah. 14:30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. And there's a reason. For the prince of this world cometh, and he had nothing in me. Even though he had nothing in him, he was still careful of him. He said, I will not talk with you much after. I won't talk with you much after this period now, because the prince of the world is coming. He's still coming. Though he doesn't have anything in me, but he's still coming. That someone doesn't have anything of him in him does not mean he can't come again. Adam didn't have anything of Satan in him when he was made. Adam didn't have anything of Satan in him when he was made. No, sir. He was made, he was created, he was formed. But later, Satan still has a sway. And later, he put his thing in Adam. So Jesus was careful of him. Jesus Christ didn't talk sheep of Satan. Anytime you see Jesus Christ talking of Satan, he talk about things that are very high about him. Not that he was praising him, but to let us know that he is a major adversary. Can we say a big amen? So I'm not here to praise him. I'm just telling you that to overcome this being, we need equipping. You know, we used to sing when we were very young, Satan, don't fall for ground, do Masha, Masha. That song is just Shadi's song. He never fall for ground. He see day in the air. His Bible call it the prince of the power of the air. He's still there. And as they sing, say, Masha, it will demash your mind with thoughts. Hallelujah. But in this last time, I'm persuaded we are going to see many overcomers. And you, all of us will be part of the overcomers. In the name of Jesus. So, Jesus Christ overcame the dragon. Because we know he overcame. How many of you agree he overcame? He overcame the dragon. Even though he said he's coming. Because that was the final hour of temptation. And Jesus was prepared for his coming. And Jesus overcame the dragon. So now, how Jesus overcame the dragon is what is also teaching us. He's teaching us how to overcome the dragon. I say he's teaching us. So the secret of overcoming the dragon, amen. I was saying in the Lord, I said that Satan is a building of everything that is called house of corruption. He's a building. He has housed everything that you must overcome. Is the house of sin? Is the house of death? Is the house of hell and death? Is the embodiment of those things. So when we say overcome the dragon, like I said yesterday, I said that Satan is the litmus test for our incorruptible attainment. There's no way they will know you are incorruptible. There's no way they can prove you are incorruptible. The only way they can prove you are incorruptible is that you overcome the dragon. That is the proof of incorruptibility. Can we say a big amen? Amen. So God intentionally left him there. It's not that God cannot put Satan in lake today. But God left him there that he will be a witness that a people are incorruptible. That's why God left him there. God can, in his sovereignty, know what to do to remove Satan. But God left him there to be a witness. These are witnesses of incorruptible life will be showcased. Anyone that overcome the dragon is an incorruptible man. Like Pastor said yesterday, Satan is a lawyer. Satan is accuser of the brethren. When they say accuser, accuser is somebody who always looks for fault. You say somebody is an accuser. He's somebody who knows how to look for fault. He's a fault finder. He's a fault finder. Say fault finder. And the way cherubims are made, you know, referring, making inference from the living creatures around the throne. Cherubims are beings of eyes. They have eyes. They can see. They have capacity to discern, to measure some thought. They know ways of men. So God put him there that he has to be an accuser. They didn't stop him from being an accuser. Hallelujah. When we see the book of Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says that, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Therefore rejoice ye heavens. I had a loud voice from heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Not only in the day. This is a lawyer that works 24/7. Bringing accusation. And the accusations were not something that were not true. They were faults. They were faults of the believers. They were faults of the brethren. So he always see those faults. Hallelujah. And he bring them before God. Part of why he's staying in the heavenly city today is because brethren are still not without fault. Brethren are not without fault. Hallelujah. Let's see Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So the purpose is that we should be holy and we should be without blame. Without blame before him. Hallelujah. That is to say, when we are standing before him, we should be without blame. No blemish, no fault. Jude bore witness to this thing. Let's see the book of Jude, maybe verse 23. So the works that we will do to bring us here were what Jesus himself did when he was on earth. Are we getting what I'm trying to say, please? Okay, let's see verse 24. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. You see the word? There's someone who can present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So he is able. Someone say he's able. So the ability of Jesus to keep us from falling and to present us faultless is in the manner of the works that we will do. Works must be done. Someone say works must be done. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we say works must be done? The works Jesus did as a man that presented him faultless before God. Jesus Christ, our Lord, though he was born without sin, he was not born as a man who could not sin. He was born without sin because he's the last Adam. Adam was created and formed without sin. Adam was without sin, but Adam sinned. So Eve is the last Adam. He too, even though he was born without sin, he could sin if he wants to sin. Jesus Christ was a man like us. Can we say a big amen? Amen. See, if Jesus Christ was formed to not form that he would be unable to sin, then this vocation is not worth it. Because that means we are following something that is not attainable. It's attainable. Somebody say it's attainable. I say attainable. A man born without sin in his lifetime used some works. He did the works the Father gave to him. And he came to a place where he attained sinlessness. And he attained deathlessness as a man. So that man now is ministering. Hallelujah. I said that man is ministering. So when we say Jesus is a minister, he's not ministering anything that is perishable. He's ministering things of his Father that he has inherited. So he's ministering them to them who will also receive them and inherit them. So that they too can be faultless. And we shall be faultless. I said we shall be faultless. Faultlessness is not works of the flesh. There are many things that constitute fault in the spirit. Our thoughts can be fault. Our disposition. Even sometimes you may not think, I'm not thinking sin. If your thought is lower than divine thought, it's still a fault. If your thought is lower than divine thought, what I'm trying to say is that if you are not thinking the way God thinks, he said, my thoughts are not your thought. What is causing that is the fault. Hallelujah. Do you believe what I just said now? How many of you know that we are supposed to think like God? You didn't believe. How will you overcome the dragon? Because anyone who does not think like God cannot overcome the dragon. Oh, nobody can think like God. It's Satan that told us that. And that's why he's having the edge against us. Hallelujah. Let's see. Genesis chapter 1. Our mommy made that statement this morning. She read that scripture for us. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. You can see that word. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. To come in the image and likeness of God, you must be able to think like God. I say we say amen.
Amen.
Can we shout, I believe that I will think and I must think like God. Is it not the way Satan told them that you shall be as God, knowing good and evil? That's opposite of thinking like God. There's a real way of thinking like God. God wants us to think like him. So what brought me there is that fault is not only I don't think sin. If I say I don't think sin, it is with time we know what sin is. Listen to me. Anything unbeliever can call sin is not the sin. Anything unbelievers can call sin. Election. Yeah. Even though that may look like sin, that is not the sin. The sin is that God is seen this way, you are seen that way. That is the sin.
Say, I believe.
You know, there's a way God sees your brother. And the way you are seeing your brother. That way you are seeing your brother is a fault. The way you see your brother, it's not the way God sees your brother. That is the fault. And it takes works and judgment. There are some things we don't repent of because we never saw that they are wrong. But there is he who is able to keep us from falling. Hallelujah. Go back to that Jude. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you, my Father, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. This is Jesus Christ. So this is not just a prayer that we pray. It's a ministry we take up. So it's not just Tony who is able to keep us from falling and you are dancing there. No, he has works that he has ordained for us to do that we should be kept from falling. Hallelujah. You know, Peter said something. Peter was saying about this keeping from falling. I'm thinking about the Revelation. Peter was saying, able to keep you from falling. Peter said, if you do some things that they allocate you for as works, you will not fall. 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, let's see, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. But he that lacketh these things is blind and he cannot see afar. And he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Yes, next verse. Wherefore rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, what will happen? Ye shall, oh my God, ye shall what? But so when he said, he who is able to keep it from falling, it means that you will have done some things. I can't feed that thing from you. So sometimes we push all the responsibility on Jesus. He's able to keep me from falling. Yes, but there are some things you will do. So and the person that wrote this thing, that if you do these things, you shall never fall, means that himself have done there. Secret of not falling. Oh my God. So it means there's a secret for not falling. You have to do these things. So Jesus, hallelujah. The secret of Jesus, of being the first overcomer. And I told us, I want us, that thing must be in our heart. These are labels that have come. I'm just trying to fetch from them to bring them to establish our heart. The overcomers are the incorruptible ones. Nobody will be called overcomer. Or the overcomer, if it's not incorruptible, incorruptible. Pastor Dixon said, incorruptible. What is incorruptible? Something that is above the realm of perishing. Something that does not depreciate in value. Subject to time, it remains like that. It's not corrupt. What is it? Incorruptible. It cannot decay. It's beyond the realm of decay. The first time our daddy taught this thing, maybe 2 years ago, you know, he came to Ilorin that time, we're having a meeting, and he said that incorruption is more than sinlessness. I used to think that incorruptibility is sinlessness. But incorruptibility is more than sinlessness. Sinlessness is a part of incorruptibility. It's more than that. That was a big amen. Sin is a product of a fallen being. Sin came from Satan. He sinned from the beginning. So when God was thinking in corruption, God was not factoring sin into it. Okay, let's assume Adam was in the garden and he kept living like that without sin. He didn't sin. Does it mean that the program will not start? No, the program has been on. Sin came to interrupt that program. So it means salvation is more than sinlessness. But sinlessness is part of the proof. But that's not the ultimate goal. Don't see sin as a big thing. It's big, but it's not as big as what God has in mind. Yes, you can overcome sin. Yes. That year they know they tell me that you are. I want a faithful church. Yes. It's not excitement. I want you to. Sometimes you need to dare sin. Sin has made himself a god, and there's a way preachers make sin a god. You say, I can be sinless. Bishop say, be careful. This thing you are saying, be careful. This is a departure from grace.
You can't know what will happen tomorrow.
But they don't know that sinlessness is also a product of grace. Because where sin reigns, grace reigns much more.
Can we say a big amen? Amen.
So incorruptible, say incorruptible.
Please, let's say one more time.
See, that you are sinless does not shake Satan too much. If you are sinless, Satan has to look at how he can still sell you his product.
So the overcomers are incorruptible men. The overcomers, they are incorruptible men.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus Christ, being the first overcomer, didn't overcome by chance. There were things Jesus did when he was on earth. Jesus did things to overcome. It's not anointing that made Jesus overcome. Walks inside. So in that Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, he's not trying to say, for you to be an overcomer. He said, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. It means there are works that must be done to become an overcomer. There must be works that must be done to be overcomers. This is the victory God has given to us as a community. That God has unveiled and is unveiling to us the manner of the works. That is moving beyond language of we are incorruptible to what we must do to be incorruptible. So they are giving us manual or syllabus for overcoming. And it's a breakthrough in the spirit. I say it's a breakthrough. I think
I came to this message in the close of 1999 to 2000. That's about 26 years ago. And I know what we used to say that time. Perfection, perfection, perfection. Immortality, perfection. Immortality, perfection. We were saying it, but we didn't have the details of those things. Later, we gave up. Nobody can be perfect in this life, bro. When Satan slap your face, boah! With one sin, boah! Baba, it's not easy. Because if you don't know the secret, if you don't know the keys, you'll be able to overcome. I will go to the book of John. I need that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. To him will I give power over the nations. Yes, next verse. Next verse, please, 27. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter, shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. It means Jesus didn't receive this thing until he also overcame. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Jesus received the rod of iron when he overcame. So he also said, when you overcome, you will also receive what I receive of my Father. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh. I know you have seen that. Will I grant to sit with me in my throne? I want you to read it loud. Even what? As I also overcame. In me, he overcame. He is the first overcomer. And I'm sat down with my Father in his throne. Jesus overcame. Say, Jesus overcame. There's a perspective we used to have. That Jesus Christ came as God when he was on earth. He was born overcomer. He wasn't born overcomer. He was born a warrior. He was born a fighter. You may not know. You may think when he was casting out devil. No, he has been warring from his childhood. So he overcame. Hallelujah. John 17, verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. What did he say again? I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Pastor Jay, mean that when Jesus was on earth, he was not doing any kind of work. He was doing his Father's work. So the Father gave him works to do. The Father gave him works to do. See, what did I say? Which kind of works? Works that will make him an overcomer. Works that will make him incorruptible. The Father gave him the works. And he was doing them. So the secret of Jesus being the overcomer and being corruptible is that he did the works
the Father gave him to do. And when he finished the work, you can say, I finished the work. Which thou gavest me to do. Next verse. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self. With the glory which I had with thee before the world was. What he was asking for is their rewards. I have finished the work. As I am now, I have finished everything. Begin to give me glory. Hallelujah. Glory is in the season or in the realm of rewards. So like, be giving me glory. You know, glory is not something that is shining. Glory are different proportions of God that we give to. That's why I say glorify thou me with thy own self. Your portions of eternal life, begin to give them to me. Hallelujah. So Jesus now said, he that overcometh and keepeth my works. Which works? The works the Father gave to him that are now his. So it's like the Father gave Jesus works to do. Amen. Say the Father. What did he do? He gave Jesus works to do. Jesus did the works and finished them. Then the works became Jesus' works. Because when Jesus was on earth, who was ministering to the Father, ministering to Jesus, was the Father. The Father was ministering to Jesus. I said the Father was working on Jesus until Jesus was made perfect and incorruptible. So when he was made perfect and incorruptible, the Father now raised him as a minister. What I have done to you, do to others. So when he also said my works, the works were not first of all his works. They were his Father's works that he finished and inherited. Now, when he say, if you do my works, it's like, do what I did. Are you getting me, everybody? To become what I've become. Amen. So let's begin to look at the works. Can we say big amen? God, in his mercy, has been showing us the manifestation of the realms of the works. And I think our daddy made the job easier for me today because I was looking at how to, you know, connect Christ to the works. But thank God. I would say thank God. The Holy Spirit knows how to move everything. He's the one watching over the meeting. He taught us that nobody can make profit with the incorruptible seed without the Christ work in the soul. How many of you remember that? He said, no man is good. So Christ is what prepares for the works. The works of God. Or the work of the Son of God. Christ is preparation for the works. Say Christ. Someone shout Christ. I just want to say something about Christ and I'll move away because that's not where I'm supposed to stay. Christ is what changes man from flesh to spirit. Or changes man from carnal to spiritual. It takes a spiritual man to begin to do the works of God. A carnal man can't do the works of God. Carnal man cannot do the works of God. A spiritual man is the one they are bringing to a place of doing the works of God. Hallelujah. Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For what? It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So it is impossible. It is impossible. When I say need that, let's not make an attempt on it. This is an impossible reality. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When we say please God, pleasing God is doing his works. Pleasing God is in doing his works. I can't please God if I cannot do the works of God. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 40. Let's see what they told the prophet to cry. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 7. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Next verse. Please, next verse. Verse 8. Okay, this one is. The grass withered and the flower faded. Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. See the next word. Surely the people is grass. So this is the state of man. As at the time when Isaiah was giving that prophecy. Man used to be flesh. Man was a living soul. A living soul was the one that was attempting the works of God. Living soul started works of God. Living soul started works of God. Say what I say, everybody. So in the garden, in Genesis 2:7, that was when the work of God began with a man. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, let's see what it says. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That breath there is the beginning of works of God. Because the breath is an understanding. There is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. You can't do work without understanding. So Adam began the works of God. He was doing that works until sin interrupted the work. Are you getting everybody? And from living soul, say from living soul. I'm rushing, but I think it's allowed. Are you getting me? Say from living soul. What happened? It became from living soul. Sin broke man's composition. Sin broke his building. And by the time God came to do evaluation again, chapter 6, he didn't say, he said, man is become flesh. What has happened? Sin has transformed man from living soul to flesh. Genesis chapter 6. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. What happened? For that he also is what? Is flesh. You can see what happened. When you look at that spirit there, you can see that the spirit is not capital letter. It's not a package. Spirit there is the breath. You mean that the way man is now, he will be striving with understanding of doing my works. He doesn't have capacity to do my works again. Because striving will be occurring. So God has to limit man's age to 120. Because prolonging man's stay on earth, it will actually spell his doom. With this state, man can easily run to perdition. So God has to say, let's limit his age to 120. Because it's flesh. Are we getting everybody? Then in Isaiah, they came for evaluation again. In Isaiah 47, where I just read now, they told the prophet, it's not just me, evaluation, it's a cry. Cry! The spirit crying, cry! What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. From living soul to flesh to grass. You can see different level of breaking. Sin is evil. Breaking man until man became grass. So this grass cannot do the works of God. Flesh can't do. So when Jesus Christ came, Romans said, talking about the love of God, he said, we were without strength. Without strength means sin has a free flow. Adam still has strength to resist sin. I'm talking to you. Why would I say that sin has beaten man composition down that sin was just having a free day? So nobody came to be born again when he was good. People say, I thank God, well, before I even became born again, now I'll be a good person. You don't understand redemption. You are not good. We are not good. We were grass. All our goodliness are the flower of the field. Isaiah. So the people is grass. Next verse, look at what it says. The grass withered. When they say, this is people, when they say people, grass withered, it's people that are withering away. But the flower faded. But the word of our God standeth forever. Hallelujah. There's something he's trying to say. Where man stop doing the work of God is in the word. The word of God is the beginning of the works of God. But man now is grass. He's withered. The flower faded. They are still saying, it's like that work of God is still remaining. Word of God is the work of God. So when they say the word of our God stands, like, even though the work man should do is still standing, but man doesn't have capacity to do the work. The world will still be like that until there are people that have capacity to take it up again. God has not changed his mind. But man, they have capacity to do the work again. He didn't have the capacity. Let's see what the way James put it. James chapter 2. Be ye doer of the work, not the hearers alone, deceiving yourself. James chapter 1. James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Next one. If a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like unto a man beholding his natural glass in a natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway away forgetteth what manner of man he was. Yes. But whoso look into the perfect law of liberty and continue hearing, be not a forgetful hearer, but what? Doer of the work. You know, in verse 20, it said, doer of the word. Are you getting me, please? Be ye doer of the word. But here I say, doer of the work. It means word is work. Word is work. Say, word is work. I can't feel. Say, word is work. Word is work. Say, I will do word. When you are doing, what are you doing? You are doing work. Work of God. Word of God is work of God. So Isaiah said, the word of the Lord stand. Is it as to say, that work is still there, but man is weak for it. But let's see the next verse. Verse 9. This is where Christ comes in. Amen. O Zion, that bringeth the good tidings, get thee up into high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. It means what will bring man to the place of doing the work of God are tidings. How man will connect back to the works of God is that good tidings must come to him. So when you see the Bible, Isaiah chapter 52, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good tidings. Is the word that bring good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reign. It means they will bring tidings, good tidings first of all. That good tidings is supposed to do one thing when they bring it. It's supposed to change the soul state of a man from grass and bring it to a place where it becomes spiritual. So the good tidings, you know there are two tidings there. Say good tidings. You know, when they give prophecy, they are prophesying according to the structure of God's works. So he's trying to say that though man's state now is that it's grass, the work of God abided. And for that work to begin again, good tidings must come. So the first tidings that will come to man is the tiding of peace. Good tidings that publisheth peace. What is the essence of peace? Peace is to change, because a carnal man is enmity against God. So I mean, what we need now is that we need peace. From enmity to peace. Someone say enmity to peace. So we need peace. Because without peace, this war can't begin. So how do we begin peace? We need to bring good tidings. So the essence of good tidings is to change man from God's enemy and make him to be at peace with him. So that good tidings is what they call the gospel of Christ. Romans 11. How beautiful. Upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. So there are two publishings here. Publishing of peace, publishing of salvation. Are you getting me, everybody? So when you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16, 116, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What is it? It is the power of God unto salvation. It means before I receive publishing of salvation, I must receive a publishing first. Who get that one? That is the publishing of peace. So the gospel of Christ is the gospel of peace. Oh my God. What did I say, everybody? Say it again, everybody. Say peace. So, okay, when a man has gone through the administration of the gospel of Christ, let's see where Romans put it again. Romans said to be carnally minded is dead. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So what brought man to this estate is the gospel of Christ. Is the good tidings. Say good tidings. So Pastor Jay, I don't mean, say, am I flowing, sir? Good tidings will change a man and give him spiritual mindedness. And to be spiritually minded is life and it's also peace. Peace here. It's not that I have peace of mind. No, that's not the peace. In this world, you can't have peace of mind like that. Forget what I said. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. But my peace I give unto you. There's where Christ is now. Is that one peace of mind? No, the fuel is up. No power supply. Then we say, I have peace of mind, but you can't sleep very well because of the heat. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world give it. So the peace here, it's not, how can we live bale until you are incorruptible? Yes, let's not lie to ourselves. There is a measure of incorruptible. That is a peace with God. Amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. So peace here. Yeah. When they say to be spiritually minded is life and peace, is that you have peace with God. Yeah. Romans chapter 5 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So there's something called peace with God. Peace with God is that I am, for the first time, compatible. A man of peace is a godly man. A man of peace is a godly man. Godly. Hallelujah. A godly man is not a man that is godlike. People used to say godly is godlike. No, godly is not godlike. Godly is God compatible. You are now compatible for the work of God. That's a godly man. You can accept God's word. You can begin to do the work of God again. Can we say a big amen? Amen. So, when we receive the gospel of Christ and we are at peace with God, then they can now begin to move us to a place where the work of God that was abandoned by Adam, but started again by Jesus. So Jesus said, doing my works, hallelujah, is that you will come to a place again where I can begin to give you the work of the Father that I did. Amen. Amen. Say first work. Say it again. Because don't forget, I said that he that overcometh and keepeth my works. So now let's look at the works. Let's see 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. Revelation chapter 1 is not the beginning of the works. Revelation 1:1 is not the beginning of the works. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 is the finishing of the works. Those churches, they are already in the midst of the works. So what Revelation came to do is to teach them how to finish the works. Not that they are starting the works, no. No, it's not the starting of the work. They have been doing the work since. So let's see the beginning of the work in the epistles. Hallelujah. Yeah. Sometimes when you read some things, you need to understand that they are not just... There's a way, maybe sometimes some Christians like things not being well defined. See, if there's no understanding, we won't do the things of God's way. Understanding is key. See, understanding is key. See, I need understanding. So, what was talking to the Philippian church, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, I think, he said that, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, next verse. For it is God who is working in you, both to will and to do. The work that he says you work out is not just any kind of thing. They are works that God initiated through Jesus Christ that you must understand. That you now begin to work them out by obedience. So, First Peter chapter 1, let's see verse 22. Look at the way he put it. Say, yeah, purify your soul. In obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. This thing you are seeing here is fulfilling the commandment of Christ. Are you getting everybody? I said, am I talking to you? See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. You can see colon there. There's colon there. Why should you love one another with a pure heart fervently? Colon, next verse. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This is what Isaiah was saying when we read the other time. We read Isaiah chapter 40. The word of God standeth forever. He's saying it here. So it means that word of God that stand there is supposed to give back to you. The word of God, which liveth. Come and say, which liveth. Say it again. And what again? And abideth forever. This is this church, they were crossing from the border. Border of spiritual to the border of the living. Because let me tell you something. And this thing, we must keep it to heart. It will help our Christian journey. Oh, how can I put it? It will help our progression. Listen to me. Spiritual was not a factor before in the work of God. The first man God formed was a living soul. So a spiritual man is here below a living soul. It's not everybody in church that is a living soul. There are grades of soul in church. Some souls are just carnal soul. Some are spiritual. The two of them can't do the works of God yet. Are you getting me? But one has more capacity to do the work of God. The man God made in the garden is a living soul. Who is getting what I'm trying to say? So a spiritual man is still lower to a living soul. Even though we sing the song, every living soul, praise the Lord. In that church, we may not have many living souls.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You need to be converted. You need to be converted. For until conversion is accomplished, you can't begin the work of God. You can't begin the work of God. The work of God has been hanging from generation to generation. A man needs to first be converted. Engage the journey to conversion. Allow Christ to convert you. The Feno Desmelufisi Afasa. Allow Christ to convert you. Remain in the womb and be born again. Be born again and be born again. For the more you are born, the more work you can engage. The more you are born, the more solidly you can do the work of God. The work of God is for men who are born again.
Yeah.
You must allow yourself to be born again. Be born again. The reason why you need to be born is so you can handle the work of God. Yeah. For every work you handle is a proof of the destruction of that which was done by the devil.
Yes.
Be born again. Be born again. Allow your soul to go through conversion. Allow your soul to go through the process of conversion. Be born again. Be born again. That I may find you available to do the works of God, says the Spirit.
Can we say amen? Amen? So this being born again here is being born to the realm of God. This is not new birth. People use it for new birth because it's not new birth. Because new birth, you didn't obey any truth. We didn't obey any truth. But these people, they have obeyed the truth through the Spirit. So you can see you have purified your soul. They have gone through some purification before. Are you getting me? Are you getting me? By obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. No unbeliever has love of the brethren. So these people, they are spiritual. But they are crossing from spiritual to the living. Can we say living? Say living. So the living here is that what makes them living is the seed they give to them through the word of God. So the first work of God that will be done is the work of the word of God. The first work of God that will be done is what? Is the work of the word of God. The word of God has two characteristics. We can see it here. Let's see verse 3 again. You have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So that is the first work of God that a man must do. It's the work of the word of God that liveth and abideth. So when you look at the book of Revelation, Jesus, I was talking to one of the churches. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Let's see. And to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, this thing saith it that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the golden candlesticks. Just, I know thy works. You see, this works here. When they say, I know thy works, it's not ministry. Mm-mm. It's not, I'm fulfilling purpose, my assignment. This is not the assignment. The works here is the works of God. I know your works. That what? Thou hast left thy first love. Let's see the next verse. Remember therefore when thou hast fallen and repent and do what? Do the first works. So first love is first works. Anytime you mention love, there is no love without works. So when you say first love, you know that when I started loving God, I know the first love are some works. The works are the works of the word of God. Amen. Can we say the works? What are they? The works of the work of God. Word of God, they have to do it. So when we say works, they must do live and they must do abide. Because the word of God has two features. Live and abide. We just read it. Those are the works they must do. Then what is the essence of that work that they must do? The essence of this first work they must do. Because you see, don't forget I said that the overcomers are those who overcome the dragon. But you see, you won't just come one day and overcome the dragon like that. The dragon is a building. What did I say? So inside the dragon are works. It's a work from toe to head. There are works inside him. And he gives to every man proportion of works. Let me tell you, there is no man on earth without the work of Satan inside him. Please, this thing I'm saying, Jesus Christ told the Jews in John chapter 8. They said, we have one father. God is our father. He said, if God is your father, you will not succeed to kill me because I'm sent from him. They now say, Abraham is our father. Abraham. Abraham loved what I'm doing. Abraham is just to see my day. He told them plainly, you have your father, the devil. It's not Gentile, just like I was talking to. Jews. You have your father. When he said father, the devil, he's trying to tell them that there are constitutions in you that are properties of the devil. Everybody has constitution of devil inside. Please, you should not deny that. If you don't see it, you can't be delivered. Malice is of the devil. Who they do malice? Say? You know they do malice. What about bitterness, anger, envy? Those are all some properties of the devil inside the soul. All those things, not your personality, now Satan's building. Stop calling what is not your own your own. I know myself. No, you know devil inside you. There's a devil fashion inside every man. I resemble my daddy. Your daddy got it from somebody. You see, he's down the lane. Amen, Jesus. So, the essence of the word. Say the essence of the word. What? Why should I do the works of the word? It's so that I can overcome certain materials that Satan has put inside of me. I must overcome them. We don't overcome them, like I said, by fasting. Fasting, you can fast to suppress them. Sin can fast. Sin can pray. Sin can preach. There's nothing you are doing that sin cannot do. Sin can be a mountain for 80 days without food. But if you don't believe, then you have to believe me. I know you believe me. Okay, why are you? What is the purpose of that fasting? Why are you? What are you fasting for? I've not seen anybody go to fast. Say, I don't obey my husband. I'm going to this one a prayer. I want to pray that I have obedient spirit. That I'm submitting to my husband. Fasting to submit to your husband. Who they do that kind of fasting? I fast to submit to my husband. I don't like the way I talk to my husband. He talk to me. I can't. No, I'm in fasting. You fast for some things. Breakthrough. Financial provisions. Perishable things. You can now see that something is the thing communicating that essence of fasting to you. I love the how, because we must change our prayer point. Sir, I realize Paul didn't pray for any of the churches for breakthrough. He prayed for them on understanding. As of understanding being enlightened, that you may be established in the will of God, that you may stand complete in the will of God, that you may be filled with the knowledge of God. So we go and read Pauline prayer to the churches. Those are prayers of a priest. Amen. So John was measuring the works in people. And he was trying to say some things. 1 John chapter 2. I write unto you, Father. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. These little children are those who started the work of God. And in that work of God they are doing, their sins were forgiven. Forgiveness, there is not that God has not forgiven us. Remission of sin. Oh God, through doing the word of God. But let's see the next people. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. So how the young men overcome the wicked one is by doing the work of God. Amen. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known it that is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. And what again? And the word of God abideth in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. You can see how they overcame the wicked one is by the word of God, which liveth and abideth. So immediately they have finished that work of God. The first work of God should make you overcome the wicked one. Through the word, you war against the wicked one. And they expect that when the word live in you and abide in you, so immediately you can start the warfare and not complete it. So what I perceive upon, hallelujah, is that Adam in the garden, the word didn't abide in him. The word liveth in him, but the word didn't abide in him. If he abided in him, he would have overcome the wicked one. That temptation is temptation of the wicked one. There's still more temptation than that temptation that fell into. Can we say a big amen? Okay, let's look at Jesus. Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It's in the Bible. And you can see the manner of temptation that Satan tempted Jesus with. They were close to the temptation that he tempted with in the garden. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. But Jesus overcame. Who agree with me? Did he overcome? He overcame. The same temptation. Hallelujah. What I perceive is that God didn't allow them to be tempted until they have the capacity to overcome the temptation. Because God, 1 Corinthians said that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond your measure. So that thing that happened in the garden, God believed they should overcome. Why? Because the word of God should abide in them. So when Satan was tempting Jesus Christ, Jesus used word that abided. It is written. It is written. It's not just scripture. Word abide. So Jesus overcame the wicked one, but there's still more to overcome. Bible says Satan left him for a while. So even if Adam and Eve had overcome, Satan would have left them for a while. He would come back with something more. Are we getting me? Can I continue? Is it clearer now? That's why you must do the, say I will do the word of God. That liveth and abideth. So you see, this scripture says, young men. It's not every young man in church that is a young man. You can be 70 and be among the young men. So it's not, you young men are strong. It has physical strength. That would say, even if the youth shall faint. When the wicked don't handle youth, they will faint. It's the word of God that made them young men. Can we say a big amen? So after the word has been done, the first work has been done, then the last work will be initiated. What is the last work? Is the giving birth by the blood. Let's see Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Amen. This year, not too long from now, we will have many overcomers over the wicked one. Yeah. Let's even overcome the wicked one. Because the wicked one is this word. Can you imagine this word doesn't pull anything out of you again? You can't be tempted by the word. Isaiah said, they will call iniquity like a sanitary pad that has been used. Just dump it. We will dump the word. Jesus can say, I have overcome the world. So you too can overcome. The young man overcame the world. Can we say a big amen? Verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God. And what again? And I have the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the work of his blood. Our daddy was teaching maybe 2 days ago. He was talking about the flesh and the blood. The flesh of Jesus is the word of God. See what I say, everybody? Yeah, it's the word of God. You have to. The flesh of Jesus is the word. So, you mean with the flesh of Jesus, you should overcome the wicked one. Then there's the blood. The blood. When I say blood of Jesus is the administration of his testimony. The testimony of Jesus is in the blood. Can we say the blood of Jesus? There's something that is in the blood of Jesus. So the realm of the blood is the realm of covenant. So we have word of God, then we have covenant of God. Which is because the end of that covenant is the testimony. You can't have testimony outside of covenant. Can we say a big amen? Yeah. So when you look at the cup, just like when he was breaking the bread and the cup, he said, this cup represents the New Testament in my blood. So the blood is the blood of covenant. We see that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11. The God of peace that brought Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work. This is the word, the blood of the everlasting covenant. So blood, that blood is the blood of covenant. So when you enter new season of another walk, so the first walk is by your birth, new birth. Not new birth as being born again. It's like you are born of God to do his word. That is the flesh. Then again, because there are many bad things in God, you will be born another time with the word, with the blood. That blood is your era of the covenant. Say covenant. There's something covenant we do. So when we say blood, you know, I taught him a lot. I say, blood is not just, I plead the blood. Thank God for that song. It's good. Blood has constitution. The way word has constitution. Word is has constitution of living and abiding. Blood also has its own constitution. The blood has law. The blood has testimony. So the beginning of the covenant is the law. Can we say a big amen? When we say blood of his covenant, the beginning of that covenant is the law. You need law first. Let's say Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Amen. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. You can see that he's making covenant with them. He's making covenant. This is the covenant I will make with them. But the covenant starts with what? Putting of his laws. So that blood, we say, blood of Jesus, has inside it law. It begins with law. It ends with testimony. It begins with law. Because law is that I give you not your law, my laws. They are laws I use to live. Nature is actually built on laws. Behind every nature is a law. So when you read the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, he said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. When he said converting the soul, it means that law, if you keep following it like that, it can bring make you to a place where you are perfect. Because what the law is that the law will be working against your own law. It's law against law. The strength of Satan over every man is law. Satan has a law. So you can't change your nature without changing the law behind the nature. Somebody say, Pastor, I'm not changing. You are changing, but is that significant change must come by changing the law that's governing your nature. So just how we give his law, that law he gives is to begin significant change or conversion, to change the soul from human nature human arrangement. Even though you have overcome the wicked one, you are still human. You are going to fight against a cherub who is a spirit. Hallelujah. Everybody say big amen. Amen. So when he gives him his law, say when he gives me his law, say it again. So it's the beginning of the covenant. He wants to make covenant with, so he give me his law. Then I will agree with that law. So covenant is agreement. Sometimes the Lord gives us his law, but we don't agree with it. It may be through teaching, maybe through fellowship. He gives us certain instructions that are laws. Ah, Lord, this one is too much for me. Oh. I can't do this one. No. You see that I can't do this one is that you are not agreeing with the law. And anything you don't agree with, you won't be able to do it. So the last work is that you will be doing the demands of the law. Can we say a big amen? Amen. So those churches, they have, when they say testimony of Jesus, it's not their testimony. Somebody handed over to them a finished work. It's like, this is how I finished the last work. I have my testimony. As incorruptible man, I hand it over to you. When he hand it over to you, inside that testimony, the law will be coming out. And the law will be the work you'll be doing. Are we getting everybody? Yes, I say, are we getting me? So laws, we have his own commandments. These things, they are day to day. You see, somebody who is using testimony, Jesus Christ, will be engaging it daily, daily. Because he can tell you, anytime, Jesus Christ, when it was Matthew chapter 5, they are just commandments that is a body of law. Love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. All those things, you know, it's not easy. Not people that are using you, despitefully using you. And you pray for them. It's a law that will change your nature. So sometimes you can, I agree, this thing is true. I agree, Lord. It's everybody, I agree. Later, you see that as you are doing that thing, you'll be changing. It will be changing you. When people are complaining, it's my friend. It's not by friend by confession. It's by friend by doing. You do things to overcome things. Am I talking, please? So you do them, you do the law, you agree, then you start doing. In doing, hallelujah. When you finish doing, say, when I finish doing, I will have one thing. It's called testimony. So you can't win the dragon with the testimony of Jesus. It's somebody's testimony. I don't think I get it, sir. You need it as a weapon. But you need your own testimony. So if I say, I come with the testimony of Jesus to fight your dragon to overcome you, he will say, Jesus, I know. Who are you? So we need our testimony. Can we say, I need my testimony? Say it again, everybody. So it's in doing that last work of warring against the dragon with the testimony of Jesus, doing the law inside it, having a covenant inside that, the final help will come. The final help is Revelation chapter 1. Are we getting everybody? Revelation chapter 1 is the final effort for those churches. That's why, if first of all, look at them. You guys, you are not doing the works well. The works of the word, the works of the testimony, some of you are not doing it well. He was rebuking them because he measured their works. You guys are not doing this thing well. These churches are not doing it well. Now, see, those churches, as we speak today, they are not plenty on earth. Got many churches are still in the paradise of milk. Paradise, some are still in the corridor of meat, maybe. So you can imagine, no church. Revelation 7 churches, they are not plenty on earth. As we see today, not many churches are there. Can we say a big amen? So the little book, can we say the little book? The essence of the little book is for them to complete the work. So three things are needed to make an overcomer. These three things are things of God that are everlasting. One, you need the word of God. We need the testimony of God that has become the testimony of Jesus. Then you need the third one, the oath of God. So, word of God, testimony of God, which is testimony of Jesus, because just like I did the testimony of God, it became his own. Then you need the oath of God. That is the last one. that we must do. So the Revelation book, the book of Revelation, is to bring them to the season of oath. Oath. There's something about oath of God. Oath of God is not just only the swearing of God to you. There's a swearing part. Hallelujah. There's a swearing part of the oath. Then there's another part. Oath of God is to also make you become a oath being. What is oath being that does not turn? Because God is not man that he should lie. Neither is son of man that he should repent. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6, he said, God has sworn, he will not change his mind. You see the word? Not change his mind. He is seated on oath. He's on oath. Bible says, oath is the end of all strife. So it is in oath, when you are eating oatmeal, that you are ending every strife, every contradiction of corruption. So it's not just, oh, I swear to you. No, it's a high level of connection to the life of God where you don't turn. Because James chapter 1, verse 17, he said, every good and perfect gift cometh from above and from the Father of light, in whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. That shadow of turning is the death. So when I say, I have overcome death, it's not that I have stopped, I have lived beyond, I cannot fall down again. No. Death is that your soul has crossed the season where it can turn. Anyone that can still turn is in the rudder of death. So when I say last time that you'll be destroyed is death, it's not just only physical. Hallelujah. Some people will resurrect and they will still go to lake with their resurrected body. So it's not the body resurrection. It's a soul state that can never turn. That is the secret of incorruption. In incorruption, you don't change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a hot man. Can we say a big amen? Amen. Bible says concerning Jesus, how was he made perfect? He was made perfect through hope. Hebrews chapter 7. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of hope, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Another version, this consecration is there, is perfection. So what makes the Son perfect? When the Bible says, be made perfect, is the word of oath. So the little book is the word of oath that make the sons of God perfect. The law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed the son with an oath. And the son has been made perfect high priest forever. The law appointed as high priest men who have weakness. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoint the Son who has been made perfect forever. So the word of oath is to make the work perfect. That work we have started with the word of God, with the testimony of Jesus, where we are made perfect sons of God, which is incorruptible, is the word of oath. These are the three work we must do. So it is these people that can overcome the dragon. Because it's a signature that we are incorruptible. Anyone that can still turn, Satan can still overcome him. Satan is the god of this world. He can use anything. What the Lord tells me is that make sure there's no vanity in you. Little of it is enough for Satan to use. In our lifetime, we will overcome the dragon. I said this vision of be overcomers, may it be our vision fully. May we be persuaded by it and we will overcome and be like the Son of God. Can we give thanks to Jesus?
We believe you have been fed by this inspiring ministration from God's servant. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our special meetings? You can join us every Wednesday for the special teaching series by 6 p.m. or on Sundays by 8 a.m. online or on-site at Eternal Life Embassy Assembly around you. For inquiries, call 0704-921-2074 or 0703-395-8818 or visit www.fmeli.org. Remain blessed.